Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
Well, if you are a guest today, I get emotional a lot, so you just know that. This is us. This is us. We enjoy ourselves, we sing loud, we clap hard, and we celebrate life change. We celebrate when someone goes public with what God is doing in their life and how God has changed them. And this entire series has really been all about what it means for us to be the church God has called us to be, to see the men and women of the Grand Strand have an opportunity to give their life to Jesus, to experience the same hope and the same help you've experienced and I've experienced. This is us. This is why we do what we do. We do what we do so that the people can go public with what God has done in their life, and that hopefully that their going public will inspire somebody else to take a step, and it'll inspire somebody else to take a step. And before we know it, we'll look around, and our region will look different. Not because it looks more like us, not because it looks more like Wellspring, but because it looks more like Jesus. That's why we do what we do. So we're wrapping this series up today. We're wrapping up a series called This Is Us. And if you've missed any of the series, if you're interested in what we're doing and what we're talking about, I would highly encourage you to visit this website. You can go back and check it out this week. It's wellspringchurch.tv/thisisus. We've got all our content there. Essentially, what we've been doing this entire series is trying to gather everybody that calls Wellspring home and everybody that's thinking about calling Wellspring home around a unifying vision and strategy of what we believe God has called us to do here in Myrtle Beach. And we believe the more unified we are and the clearer it is for all of us, the more effective we will be. So if Wellspring is your home, or if you're checking it out to try to decide if it is your home, I hope that this series has drawn you in. If you're here today and you don't believe in God, you're here because somebody invited you and you're not even sure what all this is about, and I want you to know everything we do is designed to help you reconnect with your Heavenly Father. It's why we're here. In fact, what we've been talking about this entire series is you. We've been talking about people that don't believe in God. We've been talking about people that we consider unchurched, people that don't have a church home, that don't have a relationship with God. And here's what we've been saying the entire time. This is us. This is our goal as a church. We want to create a church that unchurched people love to attend. So if you're here today and you don't believe in God, our hope is that eventually you will change your mind about God. I'm not going to hide that. I'm not going to deny that. We want you to change your mind about God. Not because it does anything for us, but because we believe your life will be better if you change your mind about God. And if you believe in God and you believe in His Son Jesus and you begin to live your life following Him, we believe your life will be better. But I understand that may take some time. So that's why we want to create a church unchurched people love to attend. Our hope today, if you're here today and you don't believe in God, our hope is you have so much fun, you felt so welcome, you felt so loved, you felt so invited, you felt so cared for, you felt engaged in the service, it was easy to pay attention, maybe you find something that's helpful that you can apply in your life, and that over this next coming week you'll think about it, you'll be like, man, you know what? I'm not a Christian yet. I don't really believe what they believe, but I kind of want to go back. Hey, kids, do y'all want to go back? And our hope is that your kids say yes. On the way out, we're going to give them candy to help. That's not a joke. They think I'm joking. If you come to the Blue Room, we're going to give your kids candy. We're not dumb. But no, unashamedly, our hope is that you enjoy yourself here and that you find friends here and that you feel comfortable here and you're able to begin to ask the questions you have about God and really search it out, because we are convinced that the more time you spend searching for God and asking questions about God, the more likely it is that you're going to fall in love with God. And one of the things we do when we talk about creating a church unchurched people love to attend, we know part of it has to do with us. Because we've not just said we want to create a church that unchurched people love to attend. We've made it clear that we want to create a place that unchurched people love to attend. This place, we work as hard as we can so that you enjoy it. We talked 2 weeks ago about how it's our job as the church to put out the best picture possible when we are representing Jesus, when we are representing our Heavenly Father, we have to put out the best picture possible, because when we try our hardest and when we put the best possible picture we can possibly do with all our effort, it barely scratches the surface of how great and glorious God actually is, and how much He loves you, and how much He is inviting you in, and how much He longs for you to be a part of what He's doing. And we as the church, people who call Jesus our Lord, it is our job to work as hard as we can to present the best possible picture of God to a world that desperately needs Him. And so that's why we want to create a place that unchurched people love to attend. Last week we talked about how this needs to leave this place. This needs to go beyond this place. And we need to become a people that unchurched people love to be around. And that completely comes down to how we interact with a world that needs Him, how we interact with people that are hurting, how we interact with people that don't know God. And what we decided last week is the best thing we could do is to do for them what Jesus did for us, is to love them where they are. Just love them. Just engage with them. Be kind to them. And today what I want to do is I kind of want to wrap this thing up. I want to help you understand. I want us to all agree together. Everybody that calls Wellspring home, I want us to all agree together. And if you're here today and you're a guest and maybe you don't even believe in God, you don't have to agree with what I'm going to say today, but I hope you can look back and say, I don't agree with that, but somebody did that for me. That's my hope for you today, because somebody is doing it for you right now. Because here's what I want us to all agree about today. I want us to agree about what is the end result. What is the goal? What do we do for people that are hurting? What do we do for people that we know and they're in our lives and they're struggling? They need help. And they don't know where to turn. Maybe they're in church. Maybe they're mad at God. Maybe they had a bad experience. What is the goal? What is the most helpful, loving thing that we can do for the people in our life that don't know Jesus? You probably have ideas. I have ideas. We all have ideas for what's the most helpful thing we can do for somebody. If you ask five friends, you're going to get five opinions on what the most helpful thing is you can do for somebody. Your mom has an opinion. Your grandpa has an opinion. Your aunt has an opinion that she won't stop putting on Facebook, and you've talked to her about it, but she won't stop. Everybody has an opinion. What I would like for us as Wellspring, I would like for us to agree on what the best thing is we can do for anyone in our life who's hurting, anyone in our life who doesn't know Jesus. The best thing we can do is to introduce that person to Jesus, wait for it, through a local church. There is this divorce that's been happening between Jesus and the church. And I think it's because the church has done a bad job representing Jesus. Well, we've been talking for 4 weeks about how we're going to try really hard to represent Jesus. So that divorce is no longer necessary. I don't even think it's practical. People who say, I love Jesus and I hate the church, would be like looking at someone and saying, I love you, bro, but I hate your wife. Like, it's not possible. Jesus picked the church and said, you are the method by which I'm going to change the world. You are the hope that I'm leaving. Now, the church has not always done a great job at holding up our end of the bargain. But we can't control all churches. We can control this church. We can control our church. And we've decided we're going to work hard at this. We're going to present the best possible picture we can of our gracious Heavenly Father. We're going to become people that engage and love people that are hurting. And when we do that, what I am telling you, the best, most loving thing we can do for anybody in our life is to reconnect them to their Heavenly Father through a local church. Specifically, I pray for you in this room, this local church. And here's why. Because when you want to reconnect your friends to Jesus through this local church, you know, because I've told you, and you know because you've experienced it, and you know because we've all agreed together that we have some shared values, some shared beliefs, that we are going to work as hard as humanly possible to present the best possible picture. You know you can bring your friends here and they are going to be welcomed. They are not going to be judged. They are not going to be talked about. They're going to be invited in. In fact, they're going to be allowed to belong here before they even believe here. It's one of our core values. And when you are a part of a church, in fact, when you are helping to create a church, that makes it easy for the world to come in, which it's not original, by the way. It's not us. If you were here week one of the series, you know. We're simply doing what the first church decided almost 2,000 years ago. It's funny. I really had to push back because, like it'd be really easy for us to be like, man, we have this great new strategy. We're so smart. We're not smart. We're just copying what they told us to do. It's right there. You can read the four biographies we have of Jesus' life, and you can see how he was for 3 years, and then you can see the 12 men he left in charge and what they did as they started the church. And it started drifting, and they had a meeting, and they were like, you know what? We can't make it difficult for the outsiders who are turning to God. In fact, it's kind of the most important thing. We have to make it easy. We have to make it compelling. Because we have to make it easy for them to come in so that they can discover what we have discovered. So when you're doing that, when you've decided that, when you're a part of a church that's all said, this is who we are, this is what we're going to do, this is us. Then, when there are people in your life that are hurting, when there are people in your life that don't have that, we can all agree that the best thing you can do, the most loving thing, is to bring that person to church so that they can meet Jesus. So what I'm hoping to do today, very simply, is to kind of help you make a shift in your brain that when you're dealing with the people in your life, with your friends, your family, your neighbors, and coworkers, and when they're struggling, when they're hurting, and when you don't know what else to do, that you will remember what I believe Jesus is going to teach us today. And it's this. We bring. Because that's what's best. We bring. Because that's what's best. When people are hurting, we bring them to Jesus. Guys, I believe our church should be a haven for hurting people. And I believe it because our church should represent Jesus, and Jesus was a haven for hurting people. In fact, the story I want to show you today comes from this guy. His name's Mark. And Mark tells us that Jesus was a haven. He was a magnet for hurting people. Everywhere he went, they brought the hurting to Jesus. What was true of Jesus should be true of us. And for that to happen, we just have to continue to make a few small tweaks, continue to put into practice all the stuff we've talked about for this series, and solidify it with one final decision. So, what I want to do today is I want to turn to the book of Mark. If you have your Bibles, turn to Mark, and maybe Mark chapter 6. Mark's a really cool story. Mark was an early follower of Jesus. We think Mark might have been around when Jesus was on earth. He'd been really young if he was, but there's a chance that he was like a little kid running around and was a part of some of Jesus' stuff. We know he was really good friends with a guy named Simon Peter, who was one of Jesus' best friends. And so he gets his account either from Simon Peter, or he probably saw some of it himself. And Mark was the very first biography written, and so you could tell when Mark was writing it, he wasn't sure how much to include and how much not, because there's some things he just says in general what happened. And then Matthew and Luke, which come after him, and John, which comes after all of them, it's like Matthew and Luke read Mark, and they're like, well, yeah, this is true, but you left this out. So they add more, and they add more texture to it and all that. But Mark was the very first guy. And Mark does speak in some generalities, and I love it, because the generality he speaks in today sets the standard for us. Because what was true of Jesus must be true of his church. So Mark chapter 6, here's what he says. Mark chapter 6, starting in verse 53, he says, after they had crossed the lake, they landed at Gennesaret. They brought the boat to shore, and they climbed out. After they had crossed the lake. Now, lots had happened before they crossed the lake. Two of Jesus' most famous miracles had just happened on the other side of the lake, other side of the Sea of Galilee. He had just fed 5,000 people. You probably heard of that. Jesus fed 5,000 with some bread and some fish. He had just walked on water. They just walked on water. They'd seen him walk on water. They get to the other side of the lake. Now, this is important. They get to the other side of the lake. The other side of the lake. Nobody knew he was coming. They didn't have email. They didn't text anybody. They didn't call anybody. They didn't know he was coming to the other side of the lake. He just shows up. Watch this. The people recognized Jesus at once. They didn't know he was coming. They didn't have Facebook. They hadn't seen pictures. They recognized Jesus at once. And look at this. And they ran throughout the whole area. They see Jesus and they run. But listen, they didn't run towards Jesus. They ran throughout the whole area carrying sick people on mats to wherever they heard
he was.
Jesus shows up. The people with any knowledge of Jesus recognize him instantly, and they know he's here, and he can help. So they don't run to Jesus. They don't just go sit at Jesus' feet. Their first thought, who do I know that needs what he has to offer? Who do I know that needs help? Who do I know that's hurting? And they run and they get them and they bring them to Jesus. They bring those in need of hope to the place where they can find help. They bring those who are hurting to a man that can provide healing. And the only reason they were able to do that is because they had experienced it for themselves. They had heard about it. They had talked about it. When he shows up, they knew from their own personal stories, from other people's stories, this is the guy that can help. This is the guy that can heal. This guy's for real. Man, if you show up here, he's going to help you. He's going to make your life better. So we got to go find everybody. Go find everybody you know. Everybody who's hurting. Everybody in trouble. Everybody who's down. Go get them and let's bring them to Jesus. Do you know why they thought that? Because they knew. We bring because that's what's best. They didn't hand them a book and say, here, read it. Nothing wrong with a book. They didn't hand them a book. They didn't simply just say, I'm going to pray for you. Nothing wrong with praying for you. I pray for people all the time. But they took a step to connect hurting people with a man who could heal them. And Wellspring, I'm telling you, I believe when we can make this final shift in our hearts, that the most loving act we can do for anyone in our lives is to do what it takes to reconnect them to their Heavenly Father. To take their hurts to a place where they can find hope. I'm telling you, that's when everything changes. Because when Jesus was on this earth, everywhere he went, he was a magnet for hurting people. And the reason I know that is because Mark tells us that. It's like Mark was telling the story and Mark realizes, you know what? This happened a lot. When I'm talking to my friend, when I'm talking to Peter about this, I'm talking to John, I'm talking to James, I'm talking to these guys, they're always talking about, you know what? They've never once told me one story that doesn't involve this. Everywhere he went, the hurting, the sick were brought to Jesus. You know what? The world needs to know that. That's important. And so he writes this line next. He says, wherever he went, in villages, cities, or the countryside, they brought the sick out to the marketplaces. Everywhere Jesus went, everywhere he went, they brought them out. Look what happened. They begged him to let the sick touch at least the fringe of his robe. They were desperate. You are only this desperate when you are certain it will work. These people were convinced Jesus was the answer. And so they did whatever it took to get their friends and family and neighbors and coworkers into the presence of Jesus. And look what he did. And all who touched him were healed. All who touched him were healed. Wellspring, I'm telling you, that same Jesus is alive today. And the healing he provided then is available today. It's available for you. It's available for your friends, for your family, for your neighbors, for your coworkers. And I know for some of you, you can't even begin to bring anybody else yet because you're still so hurt. You're still so shattered with what life has thrown at you and what in your brain maybe you thought God threw at you that you're still figuring out for yourself. Well, I want you to know you've come to the right place. You've come to a place of hope. You've come to a place of healing. Not because of us. Not because of Wellspring. It has nothing to do with me. It has nothing to do with us. It is all about the one we represent. Everything we do is designed to point you to Jesus. To get you to Jesus. so that through a relationship with him, you can find hope and you can find healing. And once you've found that, once you've discovered that, once you've done what the psalmist talks about and tasted and seen that God is good, I am convinced that the next logical step, when you really think it through, is to do the very same thing every person did every time Jesus showed up anywhere in life, and to adopt the truth in your life like a mission, like a mantra, like just a decision you're going to make that we bring, because that's what's best. Here's what I know. Many of you are here today because somebody brought you, and you were hurting. You were in pain. And Jesus is healing you. It's Jesus that's healing you. But it was your friend that brought you. It was your neighbor. It was your coworker. And in order to get to Jesus, you did have to come to a place where you could let your guard down and let your walls down and ask your questions and feel safe and feel secure and kind of kick the tires of faith, as I talk about. And that's super important. That's why we do what we do. But it still comes down to an invitation. It still comes down to bringing, to inviting someone. Someone invited you. And I believe there are people out there waiting for us to invite them. But to really kind of help bring this home, what I wanted to do is I wanted to share a story with you today, a story of a man who was hurting, a family in need of hope. Someone invited, he came. He found hope. He found help, and his life will never be the same because the people in his life decided, we bring because that's what's best. So check out this video.
My dad and mom were, you know, big into the Catholic Church, and I felt like it wasn't giving me the guidance I needed at the time. So I walked away. You know, I was a baseball coach. I'm still in baseball, and I felt like the prayer I said before a game was my relationship with God. I lost my job. My wife and I looked at each other and said, we're going to move back to Myrtle Beach, and we'll go from there. It was a job that I've been doing for 18 years at five different places and had a lot of success. She found a job. I was not working at the time, trying to get back into baseball and didn't really have anything in terms of a job. I was at home with the kids. Hadn't even crossed our path to look, you know, to ask for help or anything. It was always, why me? Why can't we find a job? I've been successful at this. What you know, why is this happening to us? Brian and Jessica Leonard had invited John and my wife to a function at Wellspring, and she looked at me and said, do you want to go? And I said, yeah, I'll try it out. It was never pushed upon us. It was asked probably more than once. It was the best decision probably we've ever made as a family. You know that you're going to be loved. You know your kids are going to be loved. You know that you're not going to be judged on anything. And you know that the people here are going through similar things. We had our son dedicated, and my family, my dad, he came, and for the next week, all he could talk about or text was how much he enjoyed where we were at coming to Wellspring. And unfortunately, he went on a trip to New Jersey, and he came back and he had a heart attack the next week. If I had not had Wellspring, I don't think I would have been able to get through my dad's passing. If something bad happens to you, then, well, who's the first person who's the easiest person to blame? That's God, right? Because he has control. That's all we've been taught. And when nothing's going right in your life, you doubt that. You doubt him, like, hey, man, why is this happening? I haven't done anything wrong. And when I walked in the door, I doubted him. With everything that had gone on in our life, with everything that we were trying to get rectified and fixed, or especially me, and you hear that, hey, it's okay to doubt him, but we're here to change that and try to help. If I hadn't walked in the doors at Wellspring, I honest to God believe, I would still be saying, why are you doing this to me? This is why we had to come back here. This is why we walked in the door on Christmas. This is why we were asked, and this is where we are. You never know where it's going to come from, but it takes one invite somewhere or one person saying one thing to click, and we walked in the door and it just clicked.
I love how Brendan articulates it, that it just clicked. It just clicked. Many of you who have a relationship with Jesus, maybe you have experienced the click. You aren't 100% positive what happened, but one day you were doubting, and the next day you were like, I still have questions, but I believe. And you just had that moment, that click. And I feel compelled to be very clear in this moment. What clicked in his life was not our church. What clicked in his life was not anything I said. What clicked in his life was not anything we sang. What clicked in his life was not anything that happened. What clicked in his life was Jesus changed his life. It was Jesus. But every experience he had, every time he was greeted in the parking lot, every person who took care of his children, every usher who smiled at him, every person who gave him a high five when we say greet the people around you, every moment singing the songs, every word I said, all of it together pushed him towards the moment where it could click. And it all started because somebody invited him. Because somebody chose to bring him to a place that he felt safe and knew they're going to do everything in their power to present the best picture possible and to be the best people possible, not of themselves, but to present Jesus and who Jesus is. Someone in his life decided that we bring because that's what's best. And what I'm saying today, Wellspring, is that we are going to do everything we can here to earn your trust so that you can know you can bring your friends, you can bring your family, you can bring your neighbors, you can bring your coworkers, and you will not have to apologize on the way out. You will not have to say, sorry, they were having an off day. Sorry, it's usually better than this. Sorry, that's not who we are. We know that we represent a God who gives his best all the time, so we give our best all the time to present the best picture possible. Not for us, not for our benefit, but because the best we have to offer, again, barely scratches the surface of how great and amazing our Heavenly Father is. So, who can you bring? Who in your life is hurting? Who in your life needs hope? Who in your life needs help? Now, for some of you, I mean, like, the names are just flying right now. You ask, you're like, they need them some Jesus. Yes. And you're like, I've invited. You know what? I know you've invited. And you cannot make people do what they don't want to do. But you can also go past inviting. You can bring. You can say, you know what? I'm going to go pick you up next week. I ain't taking no for an answer. And I'll buy you lunch afterwards. So come on, let's go. Some of you are here because of that. Some of you were drug here. I know. Because I've heard the stories. But you got to go back to the story. Remember, most of those people that were hurting in Jesus' day could not get to Jesus on their own. Someone had to pick them up and bring them because of their sickness, because of their pain, because of their hurt. Now, maybe you have friends that their pain is that a church did them wrong and they resent church. That's a barrier. Some of them are mad at God because of something that happened in their life and they blame him for it. We know that God does not cause evil to happen. God does not cause sin to happen. I did a whole sermon last December about how everything does not happen for a reason. Just because it happened doesn't mean God can plan it. God didn't cause it. God can cure it. And there's a tremendous, tremendous difference in those two. But for some of you, it's going to take going past an invitation. You're going to have to bring them. Now be careful, because I know some of you, you might tie some people up. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not encouraging abducting. There's a line. They should willfully get in your car, but be forceful about it, is what I'm saying. All right? But bring them here. Bring them to this place. And I would say bring them this Sunday. We are starting a brand new series on Sunday about time. And it's about all the stuff God says about how we can use our time best. Now, for some of you, you're like, really? Time? Whatever. Yes, here's why we're doing a series on time. Because it is a universal problem that God solves. Everybody in your life struggles with managing their time, whether they believe in God or not. And God has principles that you can apply in your time that will work whether you believe in him or not. See, God's truth is God's truth. And so you have somebody in your life, and you say, their marriage is falling apart. That's okay. Jesus is the answer to that, but they're not ready to hear that yet. But if you invite them to church with you, and you promise to take them to lunch afterwards, and they come and they have a great time, and they hear something about time, and they actually apply it in their life, and they find out, hey, God was right about this. This is actually better. When I do things God's way, my time's better. Okay, here's what's going to happen. Well, if God was right about my time, maybe God is right about my marriage. If God was right about my time, maybe God is right about parenting. If God was right about time, maybe God is right about everything else. We just want to be helpful. We just want to present the best picture possible of God. We want to show how helpful God is. He is helpful in every area of our life. He is practical in every area of our life. So again, I ask, who can you bring? Who do you know in your life that has hurts? Who do you know in your life that needs hope? Who do you know in your life that needs help? Again, for some of you, the names pop up. For others of you, we kind of have a little thing we do here at Wellspring that kind of helps spur this on, right? We call it the three little knots. And here's what that means. I did this a couple of years ago. I know some of you still do this. I try to do this in my life. The three little knots are basically triggers that you give yourself in a conversation with a person. And anytime you hear one of these knots said in conversation, you step in and you invite them to church in that moment. See, I'll make a confession. There are times where I personally am not the best inviter to our church. It's a little weird for me. I can get in my head about it because I'm essentially saying, hey, you should come listen to me talk. And that's weird, you know? And now it's like, you should come to the place that has my ugly mug on a billboard out front. And they're like, oh my gosh, I hate it more than you do, I promise. So you know, I can kind of get in my head. I can get in my head about, you know, what is the series this week? I'm starting on time. Well, they're having marriage issues. I'm not going to do a marriage series until February, so maybe I should wait till February to invite them. And God's like, dude, just chill out and invite them to church. Like, do you think all the people on the bringing the mats to Jesus, like, looked online? Oh, guys, he's talking about money. We can't go today. He's talking about, sorry, grandma, you'll get healed next week. He's talking about money, and that doesn't make me comfortable, so I'm leaving. I'm not going today. Jesus needs to just keep his hands off my money. I don't know why he talks about money so much. It's a bother. No, they just took. And so what I've tried to do and what I've asked our people to try to do through these three little knots is when you hear them, you invite. So here are the three. Number one, not in church. When you're someone and they bring up the fact that, yeah, we used to go to church, we don't go to church anymore, we moved to the area, we haven't found a church. Anytime somebody says that they're not in church, that's your opportunity in that moment to invite them to your church. Here's why. If church comes up in your conversation, it's because God wanted it to come up. Because nobody in the history of life has ever brought up the fact they don't go to church to a stranger. And they've definitely never brought up the fact they don't go to church to someone that goes to church. Ever in life. Unless God's trying to give you an opportunity there to invite them. So anytime somebody talks about how they're not in church, that's your opportunity to invite. Number two, not going well. Anytime somebody starts talking about how something's not going well, how they're struggling, their marriage isn't going well, their work's not going well, there's some tension in their neighborhood, they have four kids, and it's definitely not going well. Anytime you hear somebody say, hey, man, this is just not going well, they're telling you, I'm hurting. They're telling you, I need some help. That's what they're saying. That is your opportunity to take them to help, to take them to hope. The third one is when they say they're not prepared for. Man, I just wasn't prepared for this promotion. I wasn't prepared for this new thing. I wasn't prepared for the fourth kid. Nobody is. No one is prepared for the fourth kid. But I just wasn't prepared. I wasn't ready for that. Because again, they're telling you, they're opening themselves up. They're being vulnerable with you. What they're saying is, I need some help here. And the most genuine, loving thing you can do in that moment is to invite them to your church. In fact, here's what I want you to do. When you hear any of these, when you hear somebody say they're not in church, when you hear somebody say it's not going well, when you hear somebody say it's not prepared for, this is how I want you to respond. I want you to say, really? Well, then you should come to my church this Sunday. You know what I want to do? Let's all say it together. I want to see if you can do it. But you got to say it right. You got to punch the really. Like, really? Then you should come to my church this Sunday. All right, ready? One, two, three. Really? Well, you should come to my church this Sunday. One more time. Really? Well, you should come to my church this Sunday. There you go. It was easy, right? It was so easy. It was so easy. And I'm telling you. It takes all the mystery out of it. It takes all the mystery. Who's teaching this week? What is the theme this week? What are we talking about this week? Guys, let me tell you, God works in mysterious ways. We don't have to worry about that. That is the beauty of my job. I get to sit up here and say what God told me to say. I know what he told me to say because he wrote it down for me. I get to say it, and then he puts things in your brain and gives you clarity and all that that you somehow want to thank me for. I had nothing to do with it. God did that. I just got to sit here and say what he told me to say, and then y'all are like, oh, you're so great. I'm not. Literally, I'm not. I just stand up here and say what he tells me to say. I can't tell you the number of times somebody's come up to me and said, Pastor Trey, I just want to thank you so much for what you said on Sunday. And then they'll tell me what I said on Sunday. And I smile and say, you're welcome, and I walk away. And I say, I didn't say that on Sunday. Didn't say it. Glad you heard it. Didn't say it. And here's the thing, guys. Yes, what we do in here, we work super hard to make it engaging and helpful, and we believe any of it can be helpful. But some people, you know what they need? They need somebody in the parking lot to smile at them and say, I'm glad to see you. I'm happy you're here today. They need an usher to shake their hand and say, man, you look good. I'm glad to see you. They need to sit in a row with some people that are just going to be happy. They just need happy for a little bit. Some people, let's just be real frank, you just want another human to hold your baby for an hour. That's all you want. Give me some coffee. Give me a chair. I'm good. I have found the Lord because somebody held my baby for an hour. And we're fine with that. We're fine. Because we know it's never been about us anyway. It's not about what I say. It's not about what we do. It's about giving our best effort to present the best possible picture of our loving Heavenly Father, and he's the one who's going to change you. So it's our job to create a place And it's our job to become a people that point to Jesus. And it's our job to bring people so that they can discover Jesus. It's Jesus' job to do everything else. And we are convinced he will, because he has. Because we've experienced it. Because we've tasted and seen. Because we watched a video of 90 people going public in one day. Guys, that doesn't happen when it's about us. That happens when it's about Jesus. That happens when we decide he is best. And it happens when we decide that we bring, because that's what's best. We bring them to Jesus. So this week is my challenge. Ask God who you can bring next Sunday. Ask God to give you the ears to hear the three little knots. Not in church. Not going well. Not prepared for. When you hear, step in. Really? Well, then you should come to my church this Sunday. You should come. Why do we do that? Well, because we bring. Because that's what's best. Because we're bringing people to hope. We're bringing people to help. Because we're bringing people to Jesus. And if you've been here throughout the entire series, folks, I'm telling you, this is us. This is who we are. So let's work as hard as we can to present the best picture. Let's work as hard as we can to become the people Jesus wants us to be. And let's work as hard as we can to bring people to discover Jesus so that they can find the same hope you found and I found. And that their lives can be transformed. And then they'll bring. And then their lives will be transformed. And then they'll bring. And then their lives will be transformed. And before you know it, there will be less hurt and more help on the Grand Strand. Before you know it, this region will look different. Because we did whatever it took to point people to Jesus. Let me pray. Father, we love you. We thank you. We thank you for your hope. We thank you for your help. I pray right now you just bring to mind people we can invite, people who can come and discover you. May we be people who bring with us. Lord, I pray for this Sunday. I pray that this Sunday lives will be changed through people's encounter with you. We're going to do our best to present the best possible picture. We're going to do our best to become the people that you want us to be. We're going to bring. And we're going to trust you, as you always have done, to change lives. Change us, change our friends, change our family, change the world. We give ourselves to you. We'll do whatever it takes, because this is us. This is who you've called us to be. It's in your Son's name we pray.
Thanks again for listening to the Wellspring Church podcast. For more information, sermon downloads, and more, visit wellspringchurch.tv.